Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're continuing to look at John's Gospel, and this week we're looking at John chapter 15, verses 18 to 16, verses 15. So last week's passage focused on Jesus' amazing love, along with his instruction for the disciples to love others with this love. This passage looks at the contrast of Jesus' love, the world's hatred. So we're going to compare Jesus's love with the world's hatred and see what we can learn from this comparison, and we will also be considering what this means for us practically as disciples of Jesus. So I'm just going to read John chapter 15, starting at verse 18 and then carrying on to 16, verse 15. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. Remember what I have told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfil what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit you will receive from me what he will make known to you. So as I said, we're focusing on the contrast between Jesus' love and the world's hatred. And one of the first really striking contrasts is the idea that Jesus' love is unconditional, whereas the hatred, or well, the love of the world is conditional. Jesus tells the disciples, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. In the world's understanding of life, it says that if someone hates you and acts negatively towards you, you're expected to respond with a similar level of hatred and negative behaviour. We see this principle replicated so much in the world around us, where, for example, wars, conflicts, or even differences of opinion can cause intense hatred between people. And this is because the love of the world is conditional. To be loved and accepted by the world, you have to fit in with the world's culture. Jesus tells us if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But Jesus reminds us, as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. By accepting him and following him, we no longer find our home on earth. Instead, our citizenship is in heaven, as the Apostle Paul reminds us in Philippians 3, verse 20. In contrast to the world's conditional acceptance and therefore rejection of those who do not conform, Jesus' love is unconditional. Jesus' response to the world's hatred and rejection of him is to show love so immense and pure that he willingly dies for the sake of the world. He responds to our rebellion, the rebellion of the world, with unconditional love. Because of the world's conditional love, those that don't fit in are not just outcasted, but they are actively persecuted. Jesus tells his disciples, if they persecute me, they will persecute you also. Choosing to commit ourselves to Jesus puts us in opposition with the world. It exposes us to the persecution of the world because the world does not know or accept Jesus or the one who sent him, the Father. The world chooses to respond to the different way of life that Jesus points us to with persecution. Whereas Jesus chooses to respond to the world's hatred with sacrifice. Let's just stop for a moment and process this. I don't know if you've ever been on the receiving end of someone else's hatred, anger, and even persecution. I imagine if you have, your response would not be one of willing sacrifice for that person. I certainly know that I would not respond in such a loving manner. It is expected that we would meet hatred with our own hatred, and yet Jesus shows us another way, a better way. He demonstrated the way of love and life rather than a path of hatred and destruction. The world hated Jesus without reason, whereas Jesus loves without condition and without limit. Jesus' love is generous to the extreme. His compassion ensures that he gives his disciples all they need, and he continues to provide his disciples with all we need. Jesus knew that the disciples that feared and dreaded Jesus leaving them. They were filled with grief at the thought of life without his physical presence. So Jesus is quick to reassure them. He wants to alleviate their grief by explaining that his parting will be for their benefit because the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will come in his place. This is an amazing promise that I cannot overstate the importance or wonder of, because the coming of the Holy Spirit means that God himself dwells within us. This is a generous gift beyond all imagination. God is so loving towards us that he chooses not to abandon us, but remain within us forever, so that we will not be left alone to struggle through life. In contrast to this amazing generosity is the world's selfishness. Because the disciples would be considered different and outcast by the world, they were no longer welcome in their familiar surroundings. Jesus warns them, they will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. Being put out of the synagogue meant that they would have been excommunicated from Judaism, excluded and cut off from the cherished inheritance. This would be a cause of absolute fear and dread for the Jewish people. And yet the early Jewish Christians had to face this real threat to their lives. We too might find ourselves excluded from things because of our love for Jesus. Maybe not excluded from such massive parts of our lives, but nonetheless excluded from certain things because of our faith. One such example Today is Halloween, a day in which the world seems to go crazy for celebrating monsters, scary themes, things, and the themes of darkness. And yet Jesus tells us to be the people of light, people who dwell in the light and do not meddle in things of darkness. And I know that as a child, I found myself conflicted with my faith and love for Jesus on the one hand, and the pull of trick or treating on the other, the chances of getting to gorge myself on sweets. So we've seen that Jesus's love is unconditional, in contrast to the world's restrictive acceptance. Jesus chooses sacrifice, and the world chooses persecution. And he demonstrates generosity, while the world demonstrates selfishness. But what does this all mean practically for us? The first thing to take away from this passage is the warning to expect persecution and to take strength from Christ and persevere through the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Jesus tells his disciples that he was warning them about the coming persecution so that they would not fall away. This was a particularly important warning for those first century Jewish disciples, as during this period, a popular understanding of the way faith and life works is that physical and material blessings demonstrated God's favour and pleasure towards someone. So conversely, if someone experienced trials and difficulties, it was believed to be a sign that God was angry with that person and had cursed them to experience misfortune or opposition. Therefore, the disciples needed to be assured that the persecution wasn't a sign of God's displeasure. They needed to be prepared for what they would face. We too need to be assured and prepared when we face persecution for Jesus' sake. We are unlikely to face the persecution that the early disciples did, that of imprisonment, torture, and execution. But we still face some degree of opposition from the world. This opposition is often subtle and pervasive, and it causes us to gets under our guard and tries to question and bring doubt to what God says. But take heart and persevere in Christ. We are told that when we face opposition and we do not know how to respond or what to say, we do not need to panic because the Holy Spirit will speak for us. So we need to persevere. Secondly, we also need to rely on the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth comes to guide us into all truth, but we need to let him in, trust him, and fully depend on him. The Holy Spirit guides us with wisdom and patience, but we need to be diligent in seeking him out. We are more likely to hear the Holy Spirit if we are listening for him, and we are more likely to see him if we are looking for him. The Holy Spirit speaks into the stillness of our hearts, but if we clutter our lives with so much that our hearts are never still, we don't have the opportunity to hear what God says to us. Relying on the Holy Spirit also means that we need to stay yielded to him. It's not enough to hear what he has to say to us. We also have to choose to say, yes, I will follow. When the Holy Spirit communicates something to us and we hear what he says, we then have the choice to follow what he says or to ignore him and go our own way. It seems like a simple thing to state, but it's a harder choice to make in practice, because following the way of Christ is costly, as it goes against the ways of the world. Jesus demonstrated a countercultural life that calls us to live differently. And while this way is so much better, the attractiveness of fitting in with the world still calls to us. And it is a daily choice to ignore the call of the world and instead follow the call of Christ. And we only do this by submitting our will to the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, knowing the contrast of Jesus' love and the world's hatred impels us to communicate Jesus' love to the world. Jesus shows us that while some will not listen, some will. As he says, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. Jesus reminds us that there will always be people who choose to listen and accept him, but only if they have the opportunity to hear about him. Jesus makes a clear link between persecution and ignorance. Persecution stems from ignorance, ignorance of who Jesus is and of the Father who sent him into the world. We are called to speak the truth into the world through the power of the Spirit of Truth, so that people may hear and choose to believe in Jesus. If they never hear about him, how will they ever believe? So as we consider Jesus' love in contrast with the world's hatred, do not let the hatred of the world stop you from speaking God's message of truth and love. Because while you will face opposition, you will also find people who want to hear more and accept Jesus for themselves. Share the wonder of Jesus. And the best way to do this? Love others with the love of Jesus. Because by his love, people will know we are his disciples.